It'll be really cringe and camp and hashtag autistic. What's up, Yap Squad? My fellow yappers, my yapaholics, welcome to the very first episode of Yap Sesh Podcast with your hosts, Brooke and my good pal,
Sawyer. Woo! Thank you for joining us. We're very excited about this. This is a venture that has been in the making for a good 5 months now.
It's just going to be us two today. You're cool hosts. We have got some listener questions that we have been collecting on Instagram and Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it these days. But we also are going to talk about what this podcast is and how it came to be and what we want to get out of it and what we want you all to get out of it. Here and there, we're going to talk a little bit about some fandom news, some updates.
We're going to yap. And if you're not here for yapping, this is not your podcast.
You should see yourself out.
Bye-bye.
So, Sawyer, let's talk about how you became a content creator of sorts, an influencer, hashtag, you want to call it, and let's talk about how we became friends.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question, isn't it? By accident? I started making content almost 4 years ago. Pandemic hit. It's 2020. Everybody's rushing to this new app called TikTok. It wasn't new, but it was rising to the level that it is now. And all of my friends were like, oh, let's see who can get famous or viral first. And I'm like, okay. And I made some thirst traps. I made some stupid videos. And then I made a video I ranked the Star Wars movies. And that was the first video that got a lot of traction, but it got a lot of negative traction because I like the sequels. We like the sequels. And if you don't, that's fine. If you do, that's great. But at the time, that was not well received. And a lot of like really popular creators at the time stitched it. Because that wasn't even a thing then. It was duet. They duetted it, and they were like, leave this girl alone. And that's how I got my first 1,000 followers. And then I was like, oh, well, okay. I guess that's the only kind of person I know how to attract is Star Wars fans. So the rest is history. I've gone through kind of an up and down, in and out, dipping my toes in other fandoms. Of course, people probably know me best for my like real science in fandoms. And who knows? Maybe we'll get back to that soon.
Yeah, because you're a scientist, which is cool.
I am a scientist.
What kind of science do you do?
I am a herpetologist, which is about as autistic as it gets. I literally get paid to touch lizards for a living. It's awesome.
Amazing. I feel like we always joke about how we are like the same person, just like in slightly different fonts. As you were talking about your history with content creation, I was like, wow, this sounds real familiar, because literally almost the same thing happened to me. I was like, I'm going to learn these TikTok dances because it was COVID and I had nowhere to go and I can't dance. But I was very fascinated with the concept of TikTok because, you know, my like 13-year-old dream when YouTube was like pre- what you think of an influencer is now. My dream was like, yeah, I was like, I'm gonna be a famous MySpace girl. And anyway, I've always had this like desire to like make content. So when TikTok showed up, I was like, cool, I'll try this out. And I was on Star Wars TikTok, at least watching it, like my entire For You page, because it had been, I think I joined TikTok like right around the time Rise of Skywalker came out. So that was like all the content I was seeing. I was seeing a lot of content creators that I am like friends with now, which is cool. But I posted my first Star Wars video on May 4th, 2020. And it was, I don't think it was a ranking video, but it was like your favorite light side or your favorite dark side or your favorite whatever. And that video got some traction. I was like, oh, cool. And that was really when, like, the brain worms, the, like, Star Wars hyperfixation really, like, latched on to me. So that was, like, the content I made for pretty much 2 years exclusively Star Wars stuff. But like since then, I've also delved, is that the right word, into other fandoms. And now I kind of post about whatever I want. You know, I've got my, we've got all of our ebbs and flows of content making, and I've gotten more into like video gaming and that kind of content and cosplaying.
Are these like TikTok dance videos still posted? Can I find them? Because I did not know this about you.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think at one point I like scrolled back and like hit a bunch of videos that I was like, ugh, brother, ugh. but I don't know. There might be one or two on there.
I feel like I left out the most important part of my rise to like influencerhood. Was that for the first 6 to 8 months of my content creation, I pretended to be British.
Oh my god, the British accent era! I almost forgot.
And it was like this big deal where if I got to know you, because obviously I met Brooke and all of my other internet friends through content creation, it was a big deal. Like, we would have a talk and I would suddenly drop the accent and I would be like, surprise, you know me well enough to know that I am not actually British.
We became friends like almost 4 years ago now too. Like, it was around the same time.
Were we? We were the first to meet each other, right?
Well, I was the first. Yeah, you were the first person that I met in person.
Yeah. At Disney.
At Disney. Proof.
Yeah, and we actually went to Disney together like 8 months ago.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like the first time that I like, I don't know if I should be telling this story on camera, but I remember being really nervous because I'd never gone. You were in a sorority, so like you have developed skills I never learned about how to like mingle with other women, and I was like so nervous because I'd never really been on like a girls' trip before, and I was like, oh no, like what if I'm too autistic? And then there was this moment that we had that like something went wrong on the trip and you handled it the exact same way that I would have handled it, and I felt I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. Like,
and that's what we call being high masking. Because, you know, I believe it or not, I was in a sorority in college. Do not talk to really a single person left other than my roommates who were in a different sorority. But yeah, no, I'm very glad that it worked out really well. I've always been like very nervous about like one-on-one mm-hmm. things with friends, because I'm like in a group setting, I don't have to be perceived as much as, because you know, when I'm with just one other person, it's like I'm the only one they have to talk to. But no, it worked out very well. Yes. Be friends with other neurodivergent girlies, and it worked out really good. But anyway, why are we here? What do we want to do with this?
Gap Sesh is a project that I conceptualized at the start of the year. And at first, my vision for it was that it was going to be like a one-on-one, myself interviewing other female and like femme creators, but also femme people who are in different areas of fandom entertainment. So that could be, you know, journalists, actors, producers, really anybody who crosses into the fandom space in one way or another, largely because I don't know of a podcast like that. And also because I think there is kind of a standard when it comes to fandom podcasts where they're very news-centered, like what's going on, and they're not as much story-focused. And so I thought, okay, what if I develop this project where I can tell, like I can use a platform to tell the stories of the feminine fan experience. And I kind of always was like, gosh, I think it would be so cool if Brooke wanted to do this with me. But I was like, oh, she's so busy. You guys don't know this, maybe. If you should, but Brooke is like the most talented cosplayer in the world. And she also takes on like 7 projects at once. So I was like, there's no
really
way.
Healthy.
She's so busy. I don't know. And then like a month ago, I woke up to a text and she was like, hey, do you need help with your podcast? And I'm like, what? Obviously, I'm very ambitious and I don't think that's a bad thing, but I don't know. I really see potential in this idea. And then to have a co-host who is one of my closest friends and someone that I get along really well with. I just thought this would be a really cool project to take on together. So yeah, the goal of this show is, number one, to yak to you for an hour about God knows what. But number two, I think what's really unique about this is we're going to have one guest every week. And that guest is going to choose our topic, going to choose what we yap about. And I think that will give them the opportunity to tell whatever kind of story they want on our platform. And we can just dish about it, yap about it together. And yeah, I'm really excited to see where this goes because I think it has a lot of potential.
I'm very excited. I think a lot of like our fandom culture around making content has evolved into who's the first person to react to this show and post a YouTube video, who's going to be the first person to, you know, go to the Disney parks and buy this piece of merchandise, or who's going to be, you know, the first one to have something done. And that's just not, I don't have the bandwidth to do that. I don't have the energy to do that. And I don't really have the creative, like, I'm not inspired by content like that. I think there is a place for that kind of content. And there are channels and other podcasts that I follow that do that, or that like are the first people to cover news. And I think that's awesome. That's just not me. And Sawyer, I don't think that's you either. I think the whole point of Yap Sesh is so we can talk about what the fuck ever we feel like. Like primarily we are Star Wars fans. So we will be heavily featuring Star Wars creators and talking a lot about like Star Wars kind of content, but we also like a lot of different things. You know, we hyperfixate and have, you know, the brainworms creep in about other stuff. So I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk about other things, because I think, you know, when we're not interviewing people, we'll have kind of like mini episodes where we'll dive into a specific thing or topic. I know we've already got planned an episode just to talk about The Last of Us, because Sawyer just recently played them and they're my favorite thing ever other than Star Wars. So I think it'll be cool. I think a lot of times content creators get kind of like stuck in like one type of thing, and it's hard to break out of that. And I feel like this is, I feel very like creatively inspired by this idea.
I believe in our fan base. We've already reached over 100 followers on Twitter just by announcing our podcast, which is awesome. Thank you guys.
Yeah, it's so cool. I was like, wow.
Yeah, it seems like our communities that we've already built on our own also believe in this concept. And so I'm really excited to get it off the ground and see what we can come up with.
I think like my favorite type of podcasts that I listen to, they might have a topic in mind when they record, or some sort of outline of the things that they want to cover. But I love when podcasters go like off script, because it makes me feel like I'm like talking and like hanging out with a friend. And that's kind of what I hope that this like listeners feel out of this, especially for our like our femme fans, our other neurodivergent fans. I hope that they get that sense of like community.
And yeah, like we're just having conversations. We're just yapping.
We're just yapping with the besties.
Speaking of having fans, we've already had several people reach out and ask us questions, which I think is super cool. I didn't think we'd get that far on the first episode. But do you want to dive into some of those?
Yeah, let's do some questions. We've got a few that we're going to save for future episodes. So if we don't answer your question now, stay tuned for later, because we've got some like fandom specific questions. Like I know someone asked a question about The Last of Us. I could yap for an entire episode just about that question. I already know. So we're going to save that for later. But let's get to our first question. I actually really like, this comes from Skid Space on Twitter. They asked, who are some creators that inspire you, or just generally what inspires you both to create, which I think is a good segue because we already kind of talked about it a little bit. But we can dive into it a little more.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that has changed a lot. I've also, you know, I finished college and entered grad school all throughout content creation. I've gone through a lot of ups and downs and entered, like, Not that you're not an adult when you're 18, but you know, like I think I was 19 when I started content, and I'm almost 24, and like now I really feel like I'm an adult and I'm in the world, and I've had to, I just grew up a little bit, you know? So I think my inspirations have definitely changed over the years. And right now what really inspires me is on it. Like, I don't know if this is like a cheesy answer, but I get so much hope and inspiration, and honestly, like fuel. Like, what drives me is when, like, I see the community engaging in positive discourse or whatever. I get, you know, some of my favorite things that inspire me are when people reach out to me and say, "Hey Sawyer, because of your messaging and your content, you know, I was always afraid to say that I like The Last Jedi, and now I'm really proud to admit that I like The Last Jedi." Stuff like that is what inspires me. Seeing the change and the positivity that myself and my friends have put out into fandom spaces, that's what inspires me. And it really keeps me going. And I think it's just a really beautiful thing. I never thought that I would have any kind of impact like that. There was a time where I think my content was a little bit disingenuous because I was trying really hard to appeal to the masses. But when I took a step back and realized that that didn't make me happy, and I started doing things that made me happy and exploring different fandoms and, you know, getting out more of a message behind my content, you know, pushing diversity, equity, inclusion, stuff like that, like, and seeing the impact of that, that is, it's rewarding. But it's also that's what inspires me.
I would have to agree with all of that. I'm always so touched when, like, I know that I can be insufferable when it comes to, like, things that I like, which is why I love having a source like TikTok and Twitter and Instagram or whatever, just to yap, you know, about all the shit that I like. But I'm so touched
every time we go, yeah.
Literally. I'm always so touched when people will message me or be like, you know, "Oh, I finally decided to start playing The Last of Us because of you," or, you know, things like that. And I'm just like, wow, my incessant annoyance or being annoying has made someone like a thing that I like. And I feel like I watched a video that was like the top five, like, autistic or like neurodivergent love languages. And one of them, which is like, I think if I had to pick out of any of them, is like when other people share the things that you like, even if they don't necessarily are in as into them as you, but they want to get into it because of you. I'm like, that's amazing. Like, I don't care if you like me as a person where I am, just if you listen to me and are influenced by something that I say that you should check out, that's always really cool. And I hope that we can do that with this podcast. That would be really cool. As far as like creators that inspire us, I'm hoping that we're going to have a lot of guests on the podcast that are people that we are directly inspire us. I almost knocked my drink over the desk. I hope that we have people that we are very inspired by come on, because I would love to chat with them. And we've got a long list of people that we want to chat with. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
Our good friend, Master Allen of Level Up Sabers on Twitter asked us, what is our preferred lightsaber vendor of the podcast? # not sponsored, but could be. Well, technically I am. we love Level Up Saber in this house.
We do. It's better than a stick.
It is confirmed to be better than a stick. Yeah, check out Level Up Lightsaber. Nope, Level Up Saber. They're Level Up Saber. His website's cool. Check out his TikTok. He's super funny. I am on a Star Wars tabletop RPG with Alan and a couple other friends. We do mostly weekly episodes over on Level Up Saber's YouTube channel. It's super cool. It's super fun. Yeah. Shameless plug. Check it out. Okay, Josh Kimmel on Twitter. Great guy. He asked, if Marvel were to produce a non-canon Marvel Star Wars crossover event comic, what era or scenario would you cast up?
Ooh.
I would like to see the X-Men crossover with Star Wars. I feel like out of all of the Marvel like groups, they kind of would fit. Like Magneto feels very like Saw Gerrera coded to me,
True,
you
true.
know? Like I'd love to have actually I would have an entire mar issue of just Magneto and Saw Gerrera talking to each other at a table.
Oh, okay.
That's my answer.
That would be interesting. I think that She-Hulk would do well in the High Republic era. I think we could get some really good comedy. I was trying to think of like, can we put Deadpool in the Star Wars universe? I don't think so. I think he needs to stay. He has too much power. But She-Hulk, I think, would be fun. But maybe She-Hulk can go on an adventure with some of the High Republic Padawans. I think that'd be kind of fun, and she could break the fourth wall and give her lawyer expertise on what's going wrong.
I like that. Would Geode be able to pull She-Hulk? Because I think he would. For sure. Okay, let's see. We have a couple other questions to answer. There's a Kingdom Hearts question. Do we want to save that?
Ooh. I don't know. I think a couple people asked questions about this, so I think let's just go for it, you
Okay.
know?
So
We're everybody's like we're, people who we're getting to know ourselves, you know? People are getting to know us through this.
yes. Oh, if you didn't know, we're both big Kingdom Hearts girlies. I have a
Major Kingdom
Keyblade
Hearts fan.
tattoo. Big fans.
I have
Sawyer
eight
has an
Keyblades.
amazing so Sawyer has an I almost said Sawyer has an amazing Sawyer. Sora cosplay
Yes.
that she wore to New York Comic Con, and
Yes.
it's great. But the question is, if Star Wars was featured in Kingdom Hearts, which I hope it is from that one trailer we got 2 years ago, it almost looked like an AT-ST foot. What would your ideal plot moment for Sora and crew to jump into? And then what era, prequel, OT, or sequels?
I don't, this is so funny. I had a dream, a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, I had this weird dream that the trailer came out and revealed all of the worlds for Kingdom Hearts 4. Star Wars wasn't there, but there was across the Spider-Verse specifically, Speed Racer, which is not even a Disney property. I think Princess and the Frog made it in there, and then there was like one other one that was so bizarre. But I am honestly a little bit nervous about Star Wars and Kingdom Hearts crossing over. So I think that for it to be done successfully, in my opinion, it would have to be not placed within the nine Skywalker Saga films. I think it would have to be something like the High Republic era, or an era that is not necessarily. I think it would be very difficult for them to pick one Skywalker moment for Sora to participate in. So for me, I would like to see him be put into like the middle of a battle with Anile or something. I think that would work really well for just the way that Kingdom Hearts, you know, like there's just so much because they work, because the Star Wars movies, the Skywalker saga at least, works in trilogies. I have a hard time conceptualizing Sora just going through one of those films like he does a lot of the Disney worlds. He goes through the story of it. So for me, I mean, I guess he could go into the Battle of Endor. That could work. But I think for me, I would like to see it outside of what we already know.
That's fair. I think that would be cool. I'm just going based off of what we saw in the trailer, and it looked like it was on Endor. So I think Sora interacting and Donald and Goofy interacting with the Ewoks would be like comedy gold.
True.
So that's going to be my answer, just because I think that that would be fun. And I do agree, though, it's hard when you have such a large canon, and if you are you like Kingdom Hearts, but you don't know anything about Star Wars. Like, how do you make it so it is consumable for non-fans or like very casual Star Wars fans? That might be kind of hard. I think if you had kind of like drop him into like random moments in like the Star Wars timeline, you know, like they show up on Bespin and they're like underneath the the chamber where Luke and Vader are fighting, and then they show up on Endor. Like that could be kind of fun. It's not typically the Kingdom Hearts style, because normally they go through either the plot details of one of the movies, or it's something sort of outside of the movies, like with all the Hercules things. But I don't know. I think I trust them to make it entertaining and fun. Okay, a couple more questions. One more question. Poppy Stiglitz on Instagram asked what our favorite niche fun fact or lore fact is.
That is a good one. Do you think she's specifically talking about Star Wars or in general?
I don't know. I don't think it was specified. So we can just go with general, or if there's one from Star Wars off the top of your head.
I don't, I mean, I have an answer that I answer. I give this answer all the time, but I don't know. I don't know. We're gonna go with Star Wars. For me, it's gotta be Jabba the Hutt having a marsupial pouch. I think that will forever be the most iconic piece of lore that has touched my heart. For those of you who don't know, Jabba the Hutt, or Hutts in general, they have marsupial pouches that they grow their infants in. Can't doesn't get better than that, honestly.
I don't know if I have anything specific, but like my, and I think this is like the neurodivergent brain in me. I love, like, I am the person when I'm watching something, I'm like, who is that guy? I've seen him before. I've seen him in other things. I've seen that actor in other things. And I immediately have to look it up, which is, I don't ever want to praise Amazon, but shout out to Amazon Prime, because
Yeah.
it and it
Oh,
will show
how
you
you?
the actors. That
I
is
was
like
just
a major
like, that was
feature.
so, who was it? There was an actor in Fallout, because Fallout, if you haven't, okay, if you're under the age of 18, don't watch it. It's very graphic. But if you are an adult, check out Fallout, even if you've never played the games. It is so fun. It is like
It's so good. Yeah.
sci-fi, campy, like not horror, but like gory chaos. It's great. But yeah, it'll if you it'll just tell you if at any scene it just identifies the actors and it'll tell you, and it's a great resource. Every streaming service should have this.
I really wish they did. I'm super into voice acting, not for me. Like, I'm not a voice actor, but I'm so fascinated by voice actors. I think like it's just so cool. And I've gotten really good, especially during the Hollywood strikes. I noticed a lot of celebrities or actors were picking up voiceover things for commercials. And so you'd be watching a commercial and like, oh, that's John Cena, or oh, that's so and so. And I don't know why, but I got really good at picking out voices. So now, and I've been working my way through Critical Role, and I love all of those voice actors. But whenever I hear them in other things, I'm like, I recognize that voice. Like there is an episode of The Bad Batch that came out this week. I like rewinded the thing, and I was like, that's Liam O'Brien, 100%. So that's like my favorite fun thing to do, is be like, hey, fun fact, this actor who plays this was also in this thing. You know, that's I do that all the time. So.
I think I do that too, but I for me it's been Doctor Who, because I'm watching Doctor Who with Billy for the first time, and well, not the first time for me, first time for him. And every British actor that has ever acted in anything ever has been a guest on a Doctor Who episode, and so I don't know that I would be able to do it as well with voices. I think I could do it depending on the voice, but definitely with faces, I'm like, oh, that's Olivia Colman, just like as this random enemy that the doctor encountered. Like, what?
Okay, so those are pretty much all of our questions that we have. If you'd like to be featured on an episode, please tag us on Instagram or Twitter or DM us on any of those places with your questions, because we love answering them. That was a great time. Okay, cool. So to wrap things up, if you haven't followed us on our other socials, you should, because we're a great time. But we have been posting some like rapid fire answers about just our favorite things, just to get people to get us to know us better. So we thought that we'd go a little more in depth with some of those that we've talked about. And if there are any other things that you'd like to know or want us to hear us talk about, let us know. So we did our favorites. Where's the first one? So we put our favorite fandoms. I said Star Wars, The Last of Us, and then more recently, the TTRPG D&D space has been a real big one on my list. You're gonna hear us yap about Star Wars plenty, and you heard us yap about kind of our history with Star Wars a little bit. The Last of Us is my favorite thing ever. I have not only do I have a Kingdom Hearts tattoo, but I also have Ellie's Moth. Love that. We're gonna make a whole episode talking about The Last of Us. And then you said Star Wars, Kingdom Hearts, horror, and indie games.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, again, Star Wars. Star Wars is the one that has persisted the longest in my life, I think. Kingdom Hearts is how I met my partner, and just something that has a very, very special place in my heart. Also, something I discovered during COVID, and Sora's his character, his arc, his journey, and his like his purpose, I guess, as a beacon of hope in his universe, and what that represents to me is just so important to me. And then I just didn't know, I have all these like individual, like I don't know if this is the same for you, but for me, I've noticed that I have like my hyperfixations that take up like all of my time and all of my energy, like Star Wars. And then I obviously like I've started collecting things like Lightning McQueen memorabilia, and like I have a lot of it. Don't know how it happened. I also have cups, and I don't know. Or like lately, it's been Sonic merchandise, like that I like to collect. Like not because I don't really like. I don't have a desire to make content about Sonic the Hedgehog. It's just the aesthetic of Sonic the Hedgehog is. I don't know. I don't understand. So I put horror and indie games because I am getting more into gaming. I finally got a PlayStation a couple years ago. I really love Resident Evil, The Last of Us, but also more indie games, Stardew Valley, Undertale. Those are things that I tend to latch onto. Maybe not as intensely as Star Wars, but still have become significant in my life one way or another. So, yeah.
That's fair. No, I kind of in the same way. I have my like my long-term hyperfixations that I'm like, okay, this is going to be a staple in my life for the foreseeable future. And then I've got my things that I'm like really into for a month or two. So like Star Wars and The Last of Us are things that have persisted for, longer than a few months, years now at this point. I think it's fun. You're talking about Kingdom Hearts and getting into it during COVID. That's kind of how I was more about Star Wars. The Last Jedi was the first Star Wars movie I saw in theaters. And you've been a Star Wars fan for like ever, right? Like
Yeah,
since
my whole life.
childhood. Yeah. So it's fun because I remember playing the very first Kingdom Hearts game when it came out when I was like 8. So it's cool that we're kind of like opposite there. And like all fans are important. All right, our next one, kind of controversial, and we could probably make a whole episode about this. You're more of the theme park connoisseur than I am. I am just a visitor. But for our favorite theme parks, you said Disney World. I said Disneyland.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up going to Disney World. My dad loved going to Disney World, and he'll always say he's done and then he'll renew his annual pass. So that is definitely like a childhood bias, but it's also bigger. It has more parks, more rides. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it. The magic has never been lost on me, and I am still a pass holder. I'm not ashamed to admit it. You can see all my ears back here. I don't know if those are going to be cut out, but if it is cut out, if you can't see, there is a wall of Mickey ears in my apartment. I just, there's just something about it. And I do like visiting Disneyland. Disneyland is fun. Disneyland has better food. Disneyland has some really great rides. But one thing I'm very, very, very particular on is the Space Mountain at Disney World, which is the original Space Mountain. Yes, it is slower. I don't care. It's a better ride than one. I cannot stand Disneyland Space Mountain for whatever reason. It just doesn't do it for me. So I will die on that
That's yeah. I am more I frequent Disney World more often It was not, I was 16 the first time I ever went to Disney World though, so I did not go as a child. I've only been to Disneyland once. Well, one visit. I went multiple times when I was there, but I loved the energy. I loved how everything was in within walking distance. It was a lot less like having to figure out your travel from park to park and how you were going to get there and everything. I liked the ease of it, and I could totally see if I lived out there being a pass holder and just going all the time. I mean, I'm sure the same thing is like when you lived in Florida, it was a lot easier to get to than if you don't live nearby. But no, I thought it was cool, and I don't know, there was just something, maybe it was recency bias because I went and then I was like, wow, this is so much better than Disney World. Even though like I know it's not, I just had a really enjoyable time and I like the weather better than the humidity of Florida. So maybe that has
Well,
something to do with it too. But
that's fair. And Disneyland has a lot more like special events and stuff that I feel like I'd really love to go to Oogie Boogie Bash this year so I can meet. Well, of course, they're probably taking away this year because that's the first time I could go. I really they've been doing Donald and Goofy in their theme park outfits, and I would really love to take Sora to that event. But you know, so there are things that I and Billy's never been to Disneyland. He's been to Disneyland Paris, but not Disneyland. So, oh, hey, I mean, if it's a weather issue, if you really want to go to Disney when it's snowing, you can go to Paris.
There you go. Yeah, no, I don't have strong feelings either way. I like them both, but hashtag different. Just kidding. Okay. The next one was our favorite Star Wars characters. So I just put my, we was both just put our, I think, I don't know if we put our top three, but three of our favorites. I put Cal Kestis, because I am a Jedi Fallen Order girly for life. Leia and Din Djarin, the love of my life,
Of course.
actually. And then you put Ben Solo, Elzar Mann, and Revan.
I was debating on whether or not to put Revan, but I think, you know, Revan is a character that they are what you make them be based on how you play KOTOR. Obviously, there's a novel and stuff, and that's, you know, kind of controversial. I'm a fan of it, but I cosplay Revan, and there are not many female Revan cosplayers. I think that's a really cool thing. So I think I have to give Revan some love there. But also a really big fan of a lot of the Old Republic Sith. Any one of them could have gone up there, I think. Yeah, all my love to Ben Solo. That is he might be my favorite fictional character, actually.
Amazing. He is also one of my favorites. He's like probably right under those top three for me. Favorite ice cream flavor? You put coffee. I put mint chocolate chip. I would like to specify that it has to be green for it to be my favorite. I just love it. I know that's maybe controversial because not everyone loves mint and chocolate, but I do.
I think most people do. I am usually told that I'm weird for not. I will eat like peppermint chip, but that is like the green mint with chip. It's like I cannot do that flavor combo. But in terms of coffee, like you will see frequently on this show that I will probably always have a cup of I drink more caffeine than. Oh, I didn't know you were drinking caffeine too.
It's this is a protein coffee. I saw an ad for this protein coffee because you know you have to put a lot of protein in your body every day, especially when you're like working out. I don't have any particular like hashtag body goals, but I'm like, wow, there's a lot of nutrition you need to put in your body every day. So I it's pretty good though. And I like it's like iced coffee season for me, even though I drink hot coffee year round. I thought it would be a fun change. Favorite video games.
Oh, I mean,
So
whatever what I put.
you put Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, The Last of Us Part 2, and Resident Evil 4, specifically the remake.
I stand by Birth by Sleep. Actually, I think I was just curating a tweet about it that I'm going to post later. Birth by Sleep is my favorite. That might be controversial. I think it has the most emotional story, the darkest story as well. You know, in the kind of the same way that the Clone Wars is not for children, I feel like Birth by Sleep has that same kind of impact. Just finished The Last of Us Part 2 a month ago. We're going to talk about that some point. Billy is very much of the he can never play it again. because it was like too much. He loved it, but it was like too much. I'm ready to play it again.
So. Oh, I played it like 8 times in the last year. So
that was a cinematic experience as well as being a phenomenal game. So definitely. And then Resident Evil 4 Remake, that was the first like big boy game that I played when I got my PlayStation. And because it came out just a couple months after I bought it. And still, that is the most fun that I've ever had playing a game. It's probably like the least scary Resident Evil game. And also, there's just something so satisfying about like sneaking up on people and going,
yeah. Our friend Malik keeps telling me I should play it because he thinks I would become a Leon Kennedy girly, and I know that I would, but The Last of Us, for me, it was very scary the first time that I played them. And so I'm sure it would be the same thing, but like I'm not prepared to have to sleep the lights on for the next like 2 weeks if I start playing it. So I really gotta. I'm scared. Not cat. Scary,
though. Four really isn't that like there's not there's only one part of four that is to me scary, and like they're as scary as like clickers, you know. So okay, like I think you fair. Could, and they don't like sneak up on you. Like it's not like a jump scare.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. Really, it's like the jump scare aspect of it that I don't like about like those like horror games. But I also really want to play the Alan Wake and Alan Wake 2, and I know that those are also probably more scary, so it's fine. We'll get to it. But for my favorite games, I put The Last of Us. I love Part 2. It's baby girl, you know? I cosplay Ellie and Abby, but there's just something, I don't know, the most, like, stuck-up thing about me when it comes to, like, fandom stuff. And I'm not even talking about, like, canon source. Like, oh, things have to be canon. Like, I'm a very big, I usually like the books more than I like the adaptations of things. I like the source material of video games more than their adaptations. Last of Us show was phenomenal, but I'm still like a video game Joel and Ellie girly at heart. And I love when things, you know, when things get a sequel, even if the sequel is like objectively better, there's something so, I love the like small, like intimate story that you get from like the first thing. Like The Last of Us, the first game, is very intimate between Joel and Ellie. I have Jedi Fallen Order next on this list. As much as I loved how big they made Survivor and how much they added to it, I just love the like intimate story that we got of like the Mantis crew and what their little objective that they were doing. And then I put Kingdom Hearts 2. It's probably not a unpopular opinion. I almost put Kingdom Hearts 3, which is controversial because not a lot of people like. I just love the story of 3 so much. I cry. I like sob every time I get to the end.
Yeah, me too.
It's so good. But like if I were have to choose like gameplay wise, I would go with 2. I really love 358 over 2 days. I've never actually played it. I've only watched the cutscenes, but I love that story. I love my little popsicle crew. I have Sea Salt Ice Cream Crew. Sorry, before anyone corrects me. I love Uncharted 4. I put that on. I've played that like I played it for the first time in December, and since then I've played it like 6 times.
Oh.
And then I put Baldur's Gate 3 because I have like 300 hours logged into that game, and I only
that's got gonna it be my next game. I'm playing Fallout 4 right now, and then I'm gonna play Baldur's Gate.
Okay, next rapid fire is. Which is not so rapid fire because we're yapping about it as usual. Favorite movies. So I put Across the Universe is my favorite movie of all time. It is, if you've not seen it, it is a 2007 musical that features all Beatles music, and it is like the same time period it goes through of like the Beatles career. So it starts in like the late 50s, early 60s, and goes through the like Vietnam War and the 70s, and it's great and I love it. Pirates of the Caribbean, specifically The Curse of the Black Pearl, was such one of the
movie.
It's so good. Every bisexual's awakening,
yeah,
for the most part. and it's just so good. I love it so much. I will not let Johnny Depp ruin it for me. Jack Sparrow can exist outside of him. And then The Emperor's New Groove, my favorite Disney movie. It slaps. I love it so much.
I
know
that about you. That's so great. I've literally, I think I've only seen the movie like once. I remember watching the the Emperor's New School or something, the
Oh, the
show,
yeah.
when I was a kid, but
I just love it. It's like my favorite type of humor, and it's a little bit more, I don't want to say it's more adult, but there is a lot of adult humor that it goes over your head if you watch it when you're a kid. And I remember it was the very first DVD that we ever owned in my house when we got a DVD player. I don't know why that is such a specific memory for me, but and then on your favorite movie list, you have Blade Runner,
Blade Runner,
The
huh?
Room, and The Lego Movie.
Yes.
Would you care to share what happened to you recently with
Yeah, so if you haven't seen The Room, it is the greatest worst movie of all time. I have seen it probably 17 times in the theater. Highly, highly, highly recommend going to see it in a theater. It is kind of like the Rocky Horror Picture Show in the sense that it's got a cult fan base and there are things that happen in the theater. Have you seen The Room, Brooke?
Don't think I've seen all of it. I've seen
Oh,
clips.
I think we need to like arrange a friend group showing of this. It is so much fun. I adore it. And so last weekend I went and actually met the creator himself, Tommy Wiseau. And I had a chance to ask him a question, and he loved my question so much that he gave me like a little quiz. And if I got the answer right, he gave me his dog tag necklace from the 14th anniversary of The Room. It still reeks of the cologne that he was wearing.
Amazing.
Dude was wearing like three belts. Like he was exactly as advertised. It was incredible. But yeah, people always, people want to criticize me when I say that's like my second favorite film, but it's you can't take it seriously. And you just, if you treat it as a comedy, it's hilarious. It's
Yeah.
great. And the Lego Movie, phenomenal. I can watch that a gajillion times and never get bored of it. There's so much to look at, and I love Emmett, and I love the story, and I think it's just a really great animated film. But Blade Runner, there's just something about it. I have never been as enamored by the like message of a movie as much as I have been with Blade Runner. The original Blade Runner, specifically the final cut. I know that there's like people want to know specifically the final cut because one time I watched the theatrical cut on a plane because that was all they had on the plane, like TV, and the ending is different. Totally different. And it's like bad different. So, yeah.
Cool. Okay, we have favorite TV shows.
I don't know. Where did I put?
You put The Last of Us.
Haha, yeah.
You put Loki. Hashtag Silky for life. Take it up with God, people. And Doctor Who.
Yeah, I did put Doctor Who. I think that's just because it's been so, like, I watched it 10 years ago, like as the first for the first time. And so rewatching it has been such a unique and fun experience. And I'm seeing things that I didn't notice before and picking up on references that I didn't notice before. So I'm happy with that choice. I have not seen Loki season two, so I'm a fraud. But I will get around to it
That first season,
eventually.
man. First season was so
Oh,
good.
so good. So different. So fun. And The Last of Us, specifically the third episode, A Long, Long Time, that is, in my opinion, the best episode of television ever.
I love it. I love it. I put Parks and Recreation is I love that idea. I adore Parks and Rec. Better than The Office. Take it up with God again, okay? I'm not fighting with anyone here. I just think Parks and Rec is a lot more. Whenever I say that, I think, and I will say, don't come for me. I have not watched all of The Office, but I still think I would like Parks and Rec better because I feel like a lot of the Office humor is very mean-spirited. And I love how much more, I mean, you do have mean-spirited humor in Parks and Rec, but it always just seems like it comes more from a place of love and it's more positive overall, in my humble opinion. And then I put Scrubs. Scrubs was one of the first like adult comedies that I watched. Definitely was too young to be watching it, but I did anyway. And it's so good. It's still so good. There are only 8 seasons of Scrubs, not nine. Not nine. And then I put The Walking Dead, which is actually one that I watched very recently. I watched last year for the first time. And since that, I was going through a apocalypse zombie phase, clearly, last year. And I've watched it like 2 or 3 times all the way through since. And I haven't watched Fear the Walking Dead, but I don't really feel like watching it. And I've watched all the spinoffs. I really like the spinoffs that they've made. And I have read a 100 chapter Daryl Dixon OC fanfic on AO3 like three times. And then there's a second part that's like up to like 79 chapters now. It's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I'm such a Daryl girly, apparently.
Have you played Death Stranding?
No, but I downloaded it because it was free on Steam, and it's got him and fucking Troy Baker as the villain who wears a mask. So,
oh, Troy Baker? Like,
yeah.
Oh,
it's,
I didn't know
it's
that.
Like the game was made specifically for me, and I have not played it. That and Red Dead Redemption. Like, if you know anything about me, my flavor of fictional man is like the grumpy, rugged type. So think your Joel Millers, your Arthur Morgan. Arthur Morgan is probably like the Brooke-coded character, and I have not played. Yeah. I started playing it, and then I got confused. So we need to pick it up. My goal this year was to play one new game, at least one new video game every month, so I don't fall into playing The Last of Us over and over again. So far, I have just been playing Baldur's Gate over and over again, which is technically a new game for me. But no, I'm trying to get at least 12 new games this year. Not new, but like new to me.
Mm-hmm.
So Red Dead will be one of those on my list. Favorite Marvel characters is our last one before we wrap up. So I have Matt Murdock, Mr. Daredevil himself, who I have now met Charlie Cox twice, and he's been lovely both times. Frank Castle, the love of my life. I love the Punisher in the Marvel Netflix shows, and he's coming back for Daredevil Born Again, and I can't wait. John Bernthal is probably like the one celebrity that I can't meet, you know, like you've just got like he was supposed to come to Fan Expo Philly last year. And our friend Malik was like, I'm buying that photo op and you're going to go meet him. I'm like, I cannot. There are not that many people that I feel like very intimidated around. I'm like, I cannot meet that man. Okay. I just can't. And then I put Loki. Cause I've always been a Loki girly from day one. If we're going with like your MCU movie characters. And then you also put Loki.
Mm-hmm. I think number one.
Yes.
Yeah. I actually have a Loki cosplay. Insert photo of us somewhere.
Yeah, we did Loki and Mighty Thor.
Yes.
At Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween. Yeah. Which was super fun, but I got so wet and I threw my shoes away because they got destroyed, and also my feet hurt so bad I wanted to die. But it still had a great time.
Yeah, so Loki, love of my life. I think that then I put Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Doctor Strange is still my favorite Avenger. I don't know if it's because I find Benedict Cumberbatch particularly attractive, specifically in that role. I don't find... I'm not, like, a Benedict Cumberbatch girly. But
were you a Super Hulock?
No, I just watched Doctor Who and then, like, half of Sherlock.
Okay.
Never did the Supernatural thing.
Yeah, I feel like we're both very, like, Super Hulock-coded people, but yeah. I was also not. I've never watched a single episode of Supernatural or Sherlock, and I only watched Doctor Who for the first time after House of the Dragon came out, and I was in my Matt Smith era. So...
Yeah. So, no, it was mostly Doctor Who for me. I did try Sherlock. I never finished it, though. Who's my third one?
You put Thanos.
That's what I thought. I'm so sorry. Daddy Thanos is my me out. The only reason is because it's Josh Brolin, and Josh Brolin is so hot, and his voice is so hot. Unfortunately,
I wholeheartedly agree.
I stand by that statement.
He was my favorite part of Dune Part 2. My only criticism of that movie, I mean, I'm not like a film buff, so I could, if I really wanted to think about it, I could have like a conversation about the movie, but I walked out of it and I was like, my only note is that there was not enough Josh Brolin covered in blood. I would take another hour of that.
Wow.
Well, that's our first episode, y'all.
Wow, we did it.
So exciting. Yay. If you've made it this far, thanks for listening. We're happy you're here. We're gonna be hopefully starting to upload weekly. Or bi-weekly,
probably
depending on our schedule. Probably bi-weekly. Maybe more sometimes, maybe less sometimes, just because of life. But I'm having a great time so far. If you aren't
Yay.
following our socials, follow us on Yap Sesh Pod on TikTok, Twitter, X, whatever, Instagram. This will be up on YouTube as well as anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And if you have a question for us, we're going to try to feature at least one fan question per week. I'm not sure if we're going to be releasing who our guest is yet or not ahead of time. Any question you want to ask us, we'll be asking on the show with the guest as well. So feel free to DM us and we'll log your question for a future episode.
With that, we have not workshopped an outro yet, but
Oh, no.
yap on, folks. If you have an idea for an outro, please let us know, because I have not thought of one. But until next time, we'll yap at you later.